We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Clint Sterner Football at 4, and every Friday for the entire 4 o'clock hour, NFL Hall of Famer John McClain joins us. John McClain is always presented on Sports Radio 610 by the fine folks over at Horn Solutions. We greatly appreciate Gary Horn and his staff and his entire business. John, how you doing, bud?
Clint and Ryan, I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, look, we can't complain too much here. Hey, I heard you, I guess it may have been last night. Were you on Texans All Access last night, or was that?
Every Thursday night for 10 years.
Good Lord, 10 years you've been at it. I didn't know Texans All Access had been around that damn long, John. But
they haven't, but I was on Sports Radio 610 before that.
You're making it happen. You've been around longer than the station, John. But anyway, I heard you, and I heard you talking about your experience and your article that you wrote about David Culley, man. Tell us a little bit about it.
Clint, thank you very much for asking, because I have two things on TexasSportsNation.com, and one of them, the Culley story, will also be in Sunday's Chronicle, and both are Father's Day tributes. And I learned so much about Culley from him talking about his dad, Ulysses Grant Culley Sr., who died the third day of the draft at 94 in Sparta, Tennessee. And Sparta's in Middle Tennessee, about 96 miles from Nashville, 98 from Knoxville, about 5,000. And the Culley family spent their entire life there, except for David, who, of course, has been a coach his entire career. And listening to him talk about his dad and his impact on the lives of David and his family and people in Sparta. And he was so highly thought of, they named the baseball field after him. And he grew up playing in all across the South, were teams associated with Negro League baseball. And guys had to work 6 days a week. On the seventh, they played baseball. They took a preacher when they traveled so he could do a church service before the game so they didn't have to miss service. And his dad, everybody just called him Culley. He and his best friend Tenderfoot, they'd go to games to watch. They would find a practice if they couldn't see a game. And he just was an institution there. And I've been doing radio up there in Nashville since 1997 when the Oilers left. And they told me all about Sparta. And then Culley told me that all the people in Sparta listen to Nashville radio and been hearing me for years. So I learned so much about David, his values, about what his daddy taught him about life and what he taught him about coaching. And David, the personality he has from his dad and his mother, Jessie May, she died at 82 in 2015. Stadium was named after him a year later. And David and his wife, Carolyn, they got to see his dad shortly before he died. The McNairs gave him a jet to fly up there after the second day of the draft. So it's a fascinating story. Another one I have is my annual tribute. The Chronicle runs every year, and I can't thank him enough. My tribute I wrote to my dad when he died before Father's Day in 2007. We rerun it every year, and I always appreciate that, and it's up as well. Thank you guys for letting me promote those two stories.
Yeah, look, we can say what you want about David Culley, and I'm sure we'll be as critical as anybody out there, and once these games roll around and every time the Texans make a decision, but there was clearly you know, a unique bond between him and his father. And I mean, what a better, not a better time to write that story and tell his story with his father than you know, on Father's Day.
He used to call his dad after games, and he said after Baltimore lost to Buffalo in the divisional round, he called him. His dad said, "You didn't coach very well, did you?" And when he got the job, his dad was in bad health, but when he went to see him the night of the press conference, his dad, of course, was very proud and smiling, even though his health was deteriorating. And he said, "Son, there's a reason now. You got that H and a C before your name." And he said the number one thing his dad told him, "You better have them ready, because if you don't have them ready to play, you know what's going to happen."
White 80. John, we got a little breaking news this morning that the Texans tackle, Marcus Cannon, new Texans tackle, Marcus Cannon, that he had a knee scope. And is there anything you can update us on about that surgery, how long he'll be out, what the recovery is going to look like, what the rehab is going to look like?
Well, first of all, everybody says so-and-so underwent a successful surgery. Have you ever seen one time, guys, in our entire careers that he went through an unsuccessful surgery? So they say Marcus Cannon had this clean out and he'll be ready to go at the start of camp. Of course, they don't know. He could have a setback. He could have to have another surgery. But the prognosis is he'll be ready to go. That was minor. And, of course, he's competing with Titus Howard to start at right tackle. And I think that Cannon, he'll be the swing tackle if he's not the starter. But if he starts, I'm wondering, since Titus is one of their five best linemen, does Titus move inside to guard and play there? The position he was used at in his first training camp after he was number one pick. And as we all know, those guard positions are totally up in the air as far as we know. We know Justin Brittle started center and Laremy Tunsil at left tackle, but could Cannon play right tackle? And if this scope doesn't go the way they think it will and he's delayed a little bit at the start of camp, could that help Titus Howard get the jump on him?
Yeah, John, you know, the one thing that with this report, when it came out, it just brings to light the, and not just at the offensive line, but really the entire roster, the number of guys that are on this roster that by design, Nick Caserio went out and signed those 4 to 7 to 8 year veterans that for one reason or another were available and cheaper than one would think. And usually some of the time, not with all the guys, but a good chunk of those guys, it was because they opted out for one reason or another, or they were injured. And so it really puts you in a position to think of, man, this roster that we've discussed is the oldest roster in the NFL right now. You can look at it from a positive light and say, man, it's an experienced group. You should be able to build a foundation. There should be a good culture. Man, a couple more of these types of little knick-knack injuries could hit, and you look at a veteran-laden team as, man, these old cats are going to have a hard time staying healthy.
Well, they, number one, a bunch of them they signed are coming off injuries, and they'd played well before. They traded for Marcus Cannon because the Patriots have a good offensive line and deemed him expendable. And they brought in, they have 16 offensive linemen on that team. 9 of them are new. And the competition is going to be fierce for not just the starting jobs inside and right tackle, but also the backup jobs. And they don't have, out of the 50 new players, only 8 of them are rookies. So they're not going to be young even after they start to whittle a roster. But I think that was the idea, trying to lay a foundation with some players who'd had some success other places, like Phil Lindsay coming off an injury, Marcus Cannon who had opted out. We could go up and down this roster and find players in that situation and hoping that they can be better than everybody thinks they're going to be.
Down, set, John, I saw a report this morning that Amazon is believed to be pursuing Peyton Manning, I believe, for some booth duty on, what is it? I guess it's Thursday Night Football where they
yep.
signed that contract.
Yep, Amazon Prime.
Who are you looking forward to seeing more, Breeze or a Manning? Are you a Breeze guy or a Manning guy?
Well, first of all, Peyton turned down Monday Night Football. Everybody goes after Peyton Manning. Now, Jeff Bezos could pay him $1 billion a year and wouldn't think twice about it. It'd be tip money to the rest of us. And so there's not going to be a very big audience on Amazon Prime, which will be streamed, of course. They want Al Michaels to be the play-by-play, and they want Peyton to be the analyst. Now, there is not an analyst in this country that I tune into a game to hear because of the analyst. I never have. But if Peyton's on there, because I think he's so good and I have so much respect for him, you know, he was great on Saturday Night Live. He was great on those Peyton places for ESPN Plus. I would watch Amazon to see Peyton and to see how he does. Now, he wants to run a franchise. Now, if you're an analyst and you're going to be truthful and you're going to be critical when you need to be, you're going to ruffle some feathers. So if your goal is to run a franchise, you might stay off TV because he has no shortages of offers no matter what it is. He is living a life.
That's interesting.
Go to Amazon because Peyton's there.
I would definitely go. I think a lot of people would, and the whole trick there, right, is when you get – I think the younger crowd's going to go there because they're used to doing those things. But when you get the me up to the John McClain's to come over, do they stay? And Peyton Manning is a hell of a way to I would imagine, to get them to stay. Yeah, I would. I agree with you, John. I'd go over as well.
Well, you mentioned about Drew Brees right quick. I love Drew Brees, but I'm not going to tune in to hear him as an analyst.
I say that's fair. That's fair. Red 22. Sorry about jumping that last count on you there, General. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Hey, I got when was the last time you got stung by a wasp?
Oh, yeah.
I used to get stung by wasps when I was at my grandparents' house because they had wasp nests everywhere. And my grandmother used to run in and get what she called blueing. And I don't know what it was, but it was blue, and she would put it on there, and it would take away the pain. I used to get stung by bees and wasps. I used to take a stick and try to hit them like I was Roger Maris or Mickey Mantle, and I didn't realize I was just making them madder. And I saw you got stung today, and, man, it brought back a lot of painful memories.
John, I've been stung by a bee recently, but you barely feel that. Just kind
of. What the hell are you doing where you're getting stung by bees and wasps?
Man, I do my own yard. I know it's not popular and all you big money folks to do your own damn yard, but I do a little yard work.
I'm struggling with it.
Guys need a recommendation for your yard. When we moved in our house in 1989, I had lived in a house since Waco with my parents, and I was so fired up to do the yard and the edging and raking the leaves to have all these trees, and I bought all that stuff. And first time I mowed in the summer, I said, to hell with this. And I went down the street to a guy named Francisco. He and his crew were doing a bunch of yards. 30 years later, Francisco's still doing it.
How about that?
Look, Francisco done moved into that big house down the street, didn't he?
He could. There ain't no doubt.
Hey, I guarantee you, after that freeze, man, I guarantee you them landscape companies were raking it in now.
I had to give it up.
So what'd you put on your sting today?
Hell, ain't nothing. I put my shirt back on and kept working, baby.
Oh, well, that doesn't seem smart.
You didn't call Lauren, come out there and kiss it and make it better?
Nah, baby girl was out there working. She's gone. I was there by myself, me and the pup.
Oh, man, I feel like you should put something on that. I don't know. Maybe I'm off.
What do you put on anymore? I don't know what you put on a wasp sting.
Tobacco.
Vaseline, Robitussin. I don't know.
Oh, Mom said coconut oil. She put coconut oil on anything.
Well, who keeps coconut oil around the house?
Well, you messed around. Linda's going to send you a bottle.
I said Linda got some.
John
McClain, the general, he's with us throughout the 4 o'clock hour presented by Horn Solutions. And the news of injury to the offensive line, we'll see what he thinks about the connection that could have with Davis Mills. All of that with the general coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
Your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 4:45, so make sure you're listening for that. We are joined by John McClain, the Hall of Famer, the General. He's presented by Horn Solutions. He'll be with us until the end of the 4 o'clock hour. Remember, you can text in 713-572-4610, Dear John. Any questions you have for the General, sports-related or non-sports-related, he will answer them. Text them in with Dear John, and we'll try to get your question on there. A little bit of the news that kind of sent me – I always try to judge things, all right, how does this affect Davis Mills? Because I think he's the most important thing that the Texans need to know about this season. And we see injuries to the offensive line – like that's the part that concerns me, because one of the reasons why I feel good about seeing what you can get out of Davis Mills is because this is a pretty good offensive line potentially, especially with James Camp and coaching them. This is a pretty good offensive line potentially that a young quarterback would have to be behind.
You guys realize at this time last year we thought, okay, can the Texans get beyond the second round of the playoffs after coming off their fourth title in 5 years, beating Buffalo in the wild card round and blowing the 24-0 lead at Kansas City? And the offensive line played well. They finally got it together. They have their offensive line in place. Now here we are talking about them being the worst team in the league, almost total rebuild of the offensive line, at least on the interior, and new coaches, of course. And the one thing that they've got to get out of that line, first and foremost, way before Davis Mills plays, they got a run block, because they're going to run the ball a whole lot more. I wrote a column this week about how little they ran last year, fewest carries in history, second fewest yards in history to their first year in 2002, and how David Johnson's total was fourth worst in franchise history for a team's leading rusher. So with David Culley, Nick Caserio, they want to run and be more balanced. And I don't blame Tim Kelly for calling so many pass plays, because Deshaun Watson played great. But as we all know, they're not going to have Deshaun Watson. So they got to run the ball. It starts with run blocking. Linemen love to run block more than pass protect. And then when Mills gets in there, they've got to have that balance. That takes pressure off all quarterbacks. But if you got a young guy who's playing for the first time since college, and in Mills' case, didn't play a whole lot in college anyway, that offensive line is even more important. And by the time Mills plays, and I keep thinking the ideal time, and of course I don't have a clue, but looking at the schedule, they play, let's see, 17, that would be, they play 9 games, and then they have their bye week, and then they go to Tennessee, then they play 3 in a row at home. So I would think the ideal time to have him play would be that trip to Nashville, have 2 weeks to prepare. And Mark Vandermeer asked me on Texans All Access last night, well, what would you do if they're 5-4 and Taylor's playing great? And I didn't say, well, they should stop the season right there and give David Culley the Coach of the Year Award and Nick Caserio the Executive of the Year Award and Tyrod Taylor the MVP Award, because if they're 5-4 after 9 games, they're going to shock the NFL. Of course, they're not going to be 5-4 after 9 games, but they have to see Mills an extensive period, because it can have such an impact on what they do with their first pick in the 2022 draft.
John, how do you see, because I agree with you wholeheartedly, I think that the big difference is, and I guess we'll probably see some of it in training camp, but the big difference is, or the what's important here ultimately is how they treat Davis Mills in training camp and how they treat Davis Mills in practice once the season gets started. Do you think this is something where they treat him as a priority? You think it's something that we'll see out of the gate, or do you think it's just going to be casually integrate him into more and more reps as the season rolls and hope he's ready versus make a proactive approach to getting him ready?
Well, first of all, he played so little in college, I don't see any way he's going to be able to play anytime soon unless he's a miracle baby, so to speak. And Tyrod Taylor's got to learn this system. So what do you guys think? You have three new quarterbacks, which I believe is rare, and all of them need to learn a system. They need to adjust the teammates. They need to get their timing with their receivers. And I think if, say, Taylor went down in the first game, they'd play Jeff Driscoll. If he went down later in the season, they're not going to put Mills out there if he's not ready. One thing to keep in mind, Davis Mills, if he struggles, it's not going to be because of the mental part, because he is really smart. People may get tired of me saying he scored a 36 on his Wonderlic, but that impresses me so much. So it's not going to be because he's not smart enough to handle what they throw at him. It'd just be because he hasn't played much college football. So I think he'll start off at camp at number three. And let me ask you guys, only three preseason games. What kind of priority do you put in those three preseason games on each of those quarterbacks? Tyrod Taylor, the starter, Jeff Driscoll, the veteran backup, and Davis Mills. My opinion is you play with three games, and remember, you have 2 whole weeks before the regular season after the third preseason game. So I'm guessing they're going to let the starters play the third game instead of the way they've done it in the past, since they do have the bye week. And then Mills would get at least a game and a half to see what he could do. What do y'all think?
I'm with you, John. I think yeah. I think you make him a priority from jump, though. I don't think that, like, it to me in practice, it shouldn't be obvious to us who the first string quarterback is, and who, you know, whether it's Tyrod Taylor or Davis Mills. I think there's you're on very limited time in terms of how many reps you get, especially in today's NFL. You've got to take advantage of the reps you do have, and I think if you don't make him a priority the day you kick off camp, I think you're making a big mistake, including preseason games, including reps. Look, the truth of the matter is Tyrod Taylor's not gonna. There's no future here for Tyrod Taylor in terms of this rebuild. And the truth of the matter is, he started 4 games in the last 3 years, and so. It's a big mistake if they don't get Davis Mills reps. I don't care when they play him in a game. To me, that's
the preseason games. You mean?
Yeah, preseason games. Yeah, you got to play him in preseason games. That's very important, obviously. But I'm talking about in the season when you get him into a regular season game. I don't care if it's week 10 or it's week 12 or it's week 1 for that matter. But it's more about practice to me. Is you got to give him a chance. You can't give him third string reps and then come back week 10 and go, well, he's not ready. Like, that can't be the case. That doesn't even make sense.
No, they wouldn't do that. He would be number two in practice unless he got out there and just spit the bit and they wasn't ready. But, the worst thing you can do for a quarterback, Clint, you played the position, you know. If you put a young guy out there and he does not have success and, say, throws some interceptions, he's going to get blasted so much by the fans and media, it can destroy his confidence. Not to say it can't be regained at some point, but you are doing him a disservice if you put him out there before he's ready. And if he's got bad offensive line, it makes no sense to put him out there. If you do, you better make sure he gets rid of the ball in a hurry. He throws it on the run. And I think we'll see a lot of Mills in preseason, and then Taylor will be the starter, and then we'll see Mills at some point.
Don't you think it's just whatever he shows that he can handle in terms of preseason? Like, if he shows, preseason game number 2 or 3, that, hey, man, this guy's picking it up so much, he deserves maybe some reps with the ones. Maybe you allow that. I think it's what he shows you he can handle.
Depending on who it's against, is he going up against starters or third stringers?
Yeah, look, guys, I think, again, we're just speculating when he's going to be ready, because it literally could be week one, and because physically he's not behind the eight ball physically. He can throw the football and run with the football and throw the ball on the run plenty well enough to play at this level. And, John, if he's as smart as you say he is, it sounds like the mental part of the game is not going to be a problem. I guarantee you the physical part's not a problem. And so I don't know when it's going to be. We're speculating week one, week eight, week 10, week 12. That's the jury's still out on all that. And we can talk till we're blue in the face. We're not going to know until it happens. But the truth of the matter is, John, to answer your question, what I think the Texans should do, I think the Texans should do the same damn thing that the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing. They should do the same thing that the New York Jets are doing. They should do the same thing that any quarterback, any franchise that doesn't have at least who they think is their future at the quarterback position, they should make the young guy the priority and get him ready at all costs.
But remember, they don't know that here. If he was a sure thing, he would have been drafted like one of those guys, first or second. And that's why they don't know. They like the physical part. They like the intangibles. They like everything about him. But there's a reason he went in the third round.
Oh, I agree with that now. I mean, the Texans got to do more with less because it's a third rounder. But it doesn't change the situation that they're in a sense of they don't have their dude. They've got to find out, which I've heard you say a million times, John. They got to find out if Davis Mills is that guy. Did they find the needle in the haystack? And is he a guy that they at least want to say, hey, we're willing to invest a couple of years in this guy as our future at the quarterback position? Or, as you said, does he spit the bit and you got a clear-cut picture of what you need to do next year?
John, this season, he's the most important player on this team that they have to see.
John McClain, there you go. Most important player they got to see. And I completely agree with you. John McClain with us in the entire 4 o'clock hour, presented by Horn Solutions. He'll be with us until 5 o'clock. Dear John, coming up, and your chance to win $1,000. And we'll talk to John about, hey, did Nick Caserio actually mean something to the point of when he spoke with Seth and Sean about maybe figuring out things with Deshaun Watson by training camp? We'll discuss all that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Your chance to win $1,000 in about 10 minutes. So make sure you are listening here as John McClain, the Hall of Famer presented by Horn Solutions, is with us as he always is on Friday in the 4 o'clock hour. Dear John coming up as well, so you can text that in. Nick Caserio was on with Payne and Pendergast earlier this week, and the big thing that a lot of people picked up that you wrote about was when he was asked about Deshaun Watson, and at the end of his comment, he made the statement of, you know, maybe looking at training camp the next time they make the best decision for the Texans. Do you think that he meant anything by that in terms of, hey, that's a time frame that they're going to make a move, or do you believe he was just kind of answering the question and it was kind of made bigger than it was?
Well, I'll bet you this, if he came back on Monday and Seth Payne asked him that question, that he would have a different answer, because that's gotten all kind of publicity locally and nationally, because what decision is he talking about? He's not going to trade him if the legal issues have not been resolved. It's not up to him to determine if he's going on the commissioner's exempt list. Only Roger Goodell determines that, not the team, not the agent or the player. And they're not going to just cut him. So I don't know what he was talking about. They could always, I guess, say, hey, stay away, get an injury, we'll pay you anyway, but we don't want you here. Now, he don't want to be there. Can you imagine what a circus it would be if Deshaun Watson, to avoid $50,000 fine a day and over $2 million for missing training camp, decided to show up to force the hand? I think it would be better for everybody if Goodell put him on the exempt list. He'd make his base salary, and he would continue to work out on his own, probably in his home state of Georgia, with his quarterback guru, Quincy Avery. And if they say everything was cleared up to start a camp, I do not expect that Caserio is going to call up the first team and say, here, take him. What do you give us? I think he's going to try to maximize it, and teams are going to be much more likely to give them more for Watson before the next draft after they've seen their quarterbacks. And some examples of that are this: Daniel Jones, third year with the Giants. What if he doesn't get any better? They got two number one picks. Jared Goff, first year with the Lions. What if he's not what they thought? They got two number one picks. Jalen Hurts, first season as a regular starter with the Eagles. They could have three number one picks if Carson Wentz stays healthy. And then there's others around the league. But I do believe there are teams that were so hot to trot for Watson before all the legal issues that they will still be interested. But right now, if that hadn't been resolved, I don't think he's going anywhere.
John, I mean, we're looking at we talked about this a little bit earlier. It's funny you hit it spot on. I mean, are we really at a spot where there's a possibility that Deshaun Watson just shows up? I mean, this is Roger Goodell and Kyle McNair not Easterby but Casario. I mean, and Deshaun's representation. I mean, look, you got 6 weeks roughly to get a grasp on what that is. If they let this thing turn into a circus, I mean, that would be a huge mistake, right?
Absolutely. And I don't see Deshaun coming in here. He's already made it clear. He wants out. He does not want to be here. And that was before his legal situation. Now I would imagine he wants out even more. But, you know, he can't force a trade. And it would – I think it was Mike Florio said this week, in the interest of fairness – to the Texans and Watson, that Goodell needs to let people know what he's going to do at the start of camp. Don't wait around till the start of the season. And I don't believe he will. He's had other players that started camp. He put on the exempt list until the investigation was over. And that's a possibility here. And I don't know what Casario meant. We'll have a decision to make unless something that they know that we don't know.
John McClain with us, presented by Horn Solutions. Remember, your chance to win $1,000 coming up at 4:45. So it sounds like you have the thinking that I do, John, that if we're talking the best interest of the Texans, that for them, potentially, you're not trading Deshaun until the season ends, until you see exactly that seems like that's the best possible deal that they can potentially get when you start adding more teams in the bidding process.
You have a lot of teams that have made moves for quarterbacks either in the first round or through trades or elevating guys like Jalen Hurts, last year's second-round pick with the Eagles, that you would think they'd want to see those guys. Another team that should be interested in Washington is Washington and should be interested in Watson because they have two former Texans quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heineke, and a former U of H quarterback, Kyle Allen, as their three quarterbacks. And they're trying to defend their NFC's title. Think about what Watson would mean up there to Washington. Get their number one pick the next 3 years and throw in one of their talented pass rushers. I'd make that happen. But I think most of these teams are at a point now. They're ready to move on this season. Tua Tagovailoa, you know, do you think they'd rather have Watson or Tua? And maybe they want to see Tua this year, but that's the team. If I were Watson, I would want to go to Miami. 10-6 record. They've loaded up with more talent. Everybody respects the job that Brian Flores did last year. They're ready to compete for a wild card berth, not for the division title. But if they had Watson, not only would they compete for the division title, they might be a Super Bowl contender in what is a loaded AFC.
John, what'd you make of the report that Tua threw five interceptions in the first minicamp session?
Well, it's a good time to get it out of your system. And if they were interested in Watson like it was reported to be, that means – well, anybody – I mean, let's be honest. Deshaun Watson's a great young quarterback. How many guys in the league would you rather have your guy over him? You know, Green Bay, Buffalo, Kansas City – you know, how many are clear-cut Jacksonville now? Would you rather have your guy for sure over Deshaun Watson? But Miami, man, I would be all over a trade if it gets cleared up.
Yeah, I can't believe they made such a big deal out of it. I really can't. I mean, like he said, they were working on things. I certainly don't think his performance in throwing five interceptions in a rainstorm pushes them closer to them saying, now we really want to make a deal happen with Deshaun. I think if they want Deshaun, which I do, they would make the deal no matter what. They're still exploring that Tua's performance in a mini camp isn't going to push them towards
that.
I
agree. And Ron and Clint, think back throughout history of football. Have you ever seen a team miss the playoffs or lose a close playoff game and go, man, if we'd just been better in the offseason program or the mini camp, man, this wouldn't have happened. Never in history has that been said.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. John McClain is with us as usual. And your chance to win $1,000 coming up here in just a second. John, real quick, I'm curious. David Culley, his greatest strength, which is his positivity. Do you think that change around the building, around these players, as I know you and Clint have said, you've seen a difference. Do you think that change can actually lead to better production?
I don't know. That is a mental thing, but man, success starts with mental. Of course, you got to have talent, but if you don't, if you're, say you're thinking about something else or you're distracted or you don't like a guy or you don't like the atmosphere and you hate coming to work, you need to start with the environment. And that starts with the head coach, and David Culley has a very positive attitude. And I'm pretty sure that's one reason Caserio hired him, because he knew they were going to undergo a rebuild and there was going to be big changes on that roster. And you didn't need a Debbie Downer coming to work every day where everybody was depressed and couldn't wait till they leave. You need somebody to come in who's gonna put a positive spin, deal with people honestly, respectfully, look them in the eye, and that's David Culley.
All right, John McClain. Remember, dear John, you can send those in, 713-572-4610. Any questions you want to ask for the general, he'll answer them, sports-related or non-sports-related. He will answer those questions for you.
Let's kick off the weekend by asking the most respected Houston sports writer of all time anything you want. Submit your questions to the text line 713-572-4610. Include hashtag Dear John along with name and city. And for today's Dear John, let's open up the mailbag.
All right, John, our guy Splitty over in Deanville, he's going to kick us off here. Dear John, in the spirit of Father's Day, what is the best father-son duo in professional sports history?
Oh, my goodness. In professional sports history, I would say Gordie Howe with his youngest son, Mark Howe. They're in the Hall of Hockey Hall of Fame. One of my favorites in baseball, of course, would be Ken Griffey Jr. And then in football would be the Manning family, starting with Archie and his middle son, Peyton.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. I was sitting there thinking I didn't have it.
I had the Griffeys.
And, I mean, yeah, so LeBron's son hasn't gotten there yet. So
that would be the one. It's a buzzkill, man. It's a buzzkill.
Just being honest.
It's stroking the kid.
When Bronny gets up there, they're
Bronny.
It's his nickname. That's going to be the next King Griffey and King Griffey Jr.
We got any NASCAR fans out there? What about the Dales?
That's
the
a
Earnhardts.
Good one. The Earnhardts are a good one.
How about the Labonte's?
Yeah, Bobby and Terry Labonte.
I'm
is
sorry,
that right?
They're brothers.
Yep,
brothers. Sorry, they're brothers.
All right, we'll go to Fletcher and Highlands. Dear John, if the Texans' offense struggles early this year, will Tim Kelly's job be in jeopardy?
I don't think so, Fletcher, because I think they understand what they're going through with so many new players. Now, say midway through the season they're just an abomination, which I don't think it would be. I don't think it'd be Kelly's fault. I think it'd be the talent's fault. So I don't see them doing that. But if they did, they would make Pep Hamilton the play caller.
Yeah. I think that's where a lot of people sit and think, it feels like to some that Tim Kelly is the OC in name only, and it feels like this is more of has a feel of a Pep Hamilton offense. But we'll see more and
more.
Well,
that's not the case. It's Tim Kelly's offense. And thing about Pep Hamilton, he coached Justin Herbert last year, and they didn't even keep him as the offensive coordinator.
I guess that's not the – well, they fired the head coach, though. I mean, so you think
– Yeah, but the new coach, I would have thought, would have kept him because of his relationship with Herbert. And he may be great at that. He's been a coordinator for a long time, but You know, I'm guessing David Culley won't be afraid to make some changes.
Yeah, most coaches going in to get a new job don't David Culley it and just keep people who were there before. They go and get their own guy.
Do they David Culley it?
Yeah, David Culley it.
Martin in North Houston says, "Dear John, should we not count last year against Ross Blacklock?"
No, I think you should. That thing about not having an off-season program, Martin, let's be honest. There's a lot of rookies that didn't have off-season programs that played very well. Hopefully, in the scheme change to Lovie Smith's 4-3, it will suit Blacklock. But this is a big season for him. He doesn't want to go down as a blown draft choice who came from Arizona in the DeAndre Hopkins trade.
Yeah, I don't know. Last year was just tough for Ross. The offseason is a part of it, and then I just don't think he was actually put in the greatest situations. It didn't seem that the scheme fit exactly what he did best. I don't know. I kind of give him a mulligan. I've said that before. But now I think this defense with Lovie Smith and with the way they're going to use him, it fits him better. He's got training camp. He's got full practice and full everything. I think this year is much different.
After hearing Cecil Shorts talk about how Bill O'Brien not only viewed but talked to rookies, they get mulligans from me moving forward. Anybody that was a rookie under him was they get a mulligan, in my opinion.
All right. We're going to head to Phil and Alvin. This seems a little aggressive. Show's not going to appreciate it. To catch you up, General, we have decided here recently on this show that Clint Dirty Sterner is the father of the show, and show has kind of adopted this mother role for Clint Sterner in the show.
I have not.
And our guy, Phil and Alvin, says, "Dear John, would you wear a T-shirt with Clint's face on it that read, 'Who is Show's daddy?'"
Absolutely not, because that makes no sense about who's the daddy and who's the wife and the mother and all that. I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Phil, but that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, that is true. Phil seems confused.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about, Phil. That's the greatest thing I've ever heard right there. Thank you.
Lester and Stafford, he says, "Dear John, who would come off of the bench first if Tyrod Taylor got hurt in week one?"
Oh, I believe that right off the bat, Lester, it would be Jeff Driscoll, because he's a six-year veteran. But unless Davis Mills made this miraculous progress, but I think if it was later in the season, say midway point on, then it would be Mills. If it was for a lengthy period of time, it might be Mills. But if it's short term, I think it'd be Jeff Driscoll.
I agree. I agree that if, like, you can't, there'd be another mistake, right? Is you can't, with an injury, have a knee-jerk reaction and decide it's time to play Davis Mills. Like, if it's not in the cards at that moment, yeah, you've got to throw Jeff Driscoll to the wolves. Because I do agree with a lot of what John said, in a sense of, like, putting a young fella in a bad position on the field on Sunday,
if he's not ready,
is dangerous. Yeah. That cannot happen.
All right, that is the General John McClain, presented by Horn Solutions. We always enjoy our time with you on Fridays. We look forward to speaking to you next week, and have a safe weekend, McClain.
Ron, Clint, and Tyler, thank you very much. Clint, I'm so sorry. You know, I was in Nashville last weekend for a charity event, and I forgot to tell you, I was supposed to pass on from Susan, Jackie, Alex, Miranda, and I think the other one was Bathsheba. They said, "Tell Clint we miss him."
Oh my God!
Hey, too late.
Thank you, guys.
The ladies missed out, man.
Yeah.
Low hit the lottery.
That's John McClain. It's presented by Horn Solutions. He's with us each and every Friday. Dusty Baker, the manager of the Astros, gives updates on two important injured players. One good, one not so good. We'll let you hear that coming up next.
Those Astros, they're kicking ass and taking names.